And welcome to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and this will be a fun one today. We talk about family business stories and the background behind them in the OK Hatchery, a staple in Kirkwood. We'll hear the story from both Ron and Pat, who join us today, alongside Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents the Business of Family Business. And also thanks to Ferguson Roofing, a contributing sponsor to this program. Let's talk about the start of the OK Hatchery and when it was founded with your father. What were the early years like, and kind of talk about how it began?
Well, my dad was born in 1898 in a little town, Martinsburg, Missouri, near Mexico, Missouri, in Audrain County. Mm-hmm. And his father died when at a rather young age, and his mother, my grandmother, and three children, just two brother and sister, mm-hmm. came to St. Louis in 1917. He went to Brown's Business College, where he met my mother, and somehow he had a fascination. I don't know whether he read up on it or what, but it was something new that was starting, where people were starting to hatch chickens as an occupation, and it was a fascination for him. He did a lot of reading on it, and there happened to be a place in Mexico, Missouri, who was starting to manufacture incubators, Smith Incubator Company. Mm-hmm. So he talked to them, and he decided that's something he wanted to do. He'd worked downtown at the Merchants Exchange for several grain companies, and decided after they'd moved to Kirkwood in 1925 that he'd like to start a chicken hatchery. So he bought a 10,000 egg incubator and started it in his garage. And it went very well. And he just started to build from there. He'd trade that in and get bigger ones, and it just kept going.
Well, 10,000 egg incubator sounds like it's huge. Like, how big would that be?
Of course, that was before my time, but it's about the size of maybe a half size of a normal room in a house, I would say.
Oh, so
it had to be walk-in, so you could go in. There were usually the trays where the eggs were on both sides. You walk down the middle.
That's, to me, it seems smaller than I imagine. I imagine we're talking like a size of a barn or something
like that. No.
So 10,000 is relatively small.
Very compact.
So when it's, you say 10,000 egg incubators, what's that mean? Is that like the capacity?
That's the capacity. You would have, the chickens take 3 weeks to hatch. Mm-hmm. So you would figure a third of that, the eggs would go in. In the third week, they would hatch, but next week, they put in a third. At one point, it would be full.
Describe how this machine works. So what happens? Like, you put a fertilized egg in, or do you have chickens there dropping eggs down? Or I'm trying to imagine it. I've never seen anything like it.
The eggs were all put in a tray, a large tray, and I remember it was when we had a big 98,000 egg incubator, and the trays would go in, and they would be stacked, piece of machinery that would turn. Mm-hmm. Eggs had to be turned, and so there was a timer. They would turn them. They needed to be turned three times in a 24-hour period.
Different than your mom's egg timer, yeah.
And then on the about the second or after the second week, trays would be pulled out and put into a lower compartment, mm-hmm. and that's where the chickens then would hatch then on the third week. And then you just pull out the trays and hope that the chickens had hatched.
So they're just keeping it warm, kind of like if the chicken was sitting on the egg?
Yes. Temperature had to be around 100 or 101 degrees.
Okay. So then what happens? So the eggs start to hatch, and you have all these baby chickens.
Right.
What happens after that?
Well, then they had to be brought out, make sure that they were released from the shell. They were put in boxes, and then my mom and dad would go through and what they called culling the chickens, baby chicks, and they would pull out ones that looked like they were weak, that might not make it, and separate them that way.
Yeah.
Then later, they had chick sexers that would come in. Some people didn't want just a mixed males and females.
Yeah.
They wanted all roosters, which were cheap. Or they wanted all hens. Most people wanted all hens because that's what they were wanting for the eggs.
Yeah. So you actually had someone come in and that was their job. They would just individually separate male to female and they would go that way.
Right.
Where does the name OK Hatchery come from? Do you know?
Well, the OK was my father's initials, Oscar Krieger.
Oh, okay. Oscar Krieger. And you said he worked in grain trading?
Well, he was a secretary and worked for drain companies.
Oh, drain.
Grain companies.
Oh, grain. Gotcha.
Sorry.
So is that really his introduction? Because does that count as farming in a way?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, this was down at the St. Louis Merchants Exchange, yeah. You know, where they, it's not here anymore. There's a Chicago one now, I think, but where they decide how much this grains are going to cost. And, you know, I don't know the details of all that, but
even that's changed. I mean, just
yes,
in the last
considerably.
Couple of years, they've gone all electronic. They used to do the whole deal
right.
Where they'd go out and yell and scream, but they don't do that anymore.
You know, the farmers would get the reports on the radio,
uh-huh.
What the grains are, or how the crop was going to be, and the forecasts on the crops.
Yes.
And it all decided what the prices were going to be.
So where was the OK Hatchery located at that time?
He bought some property just west of Kirkwood at that time. Now it is in Kirkwood city limits, out at Darty Ferry and Essex Avenues. And he bought eight acres out there and built the house first, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
Then later he expanded, built a hen house. He decided that was going to be needed for the hatchery, so he put the hatchery in there, and we added on and added on.
You know, this sounds like a plot line for a television show.
Okay.
Is that the farmhouse you grew up on?
Yes, it is.
What year, can I ask, you were born?
I was born in 1936.
Okay. So you were always around this growing up.
I was
up.
Around, and I even as probably at a 5 or 6 year old, I can still remember bagging up feed in little 10-pound bags,
yeah.
Which I was able to handle at that time. And so, you know, I really grew up in the business. And then later, as I was in high school, I worked on Saturdays. But mm-hmm. I really didn't have an interest in the hatchery at that
no.
time.
No. Interesting. I do want to talk about that.
Okay.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I first want to point out how unique is a family business like this. You've talked to a lot of family businesses, many of which are unique. This one is very unique.
I've never known a family business that was a hatchery.
Yes.
I've known farmers who raised chickens and sold eggs. They had a laying operation mm-hmm. and a confined operation. So there was a lot of chickens there, but I've never seen a hatchery before. This is unique.
I'm fascinated about the things they're doing at the OK Hatchery and the history of where they were and where they are today. We're going to continue our conversation with them, give you an idea of what to expect at their downtown Kirkwood location, with both Ron and Pat, who join us on the Business of Family Business. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. It's presented by CMA Consulting, a story of a 91-year-old business, the OK Hatchery in downtown Kirkwood. Their backstory, it's a fascinating one. How many chickens would run around at any given time? Would you have upwards of 10,000 chickens there?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And more?
Most of the chickens were ordered in advance,
mm-hmm.
and the people knew when to come in, and then there was walk-in trade too for them. Then later, as maybe we had surplus chicks, my dad started a small building again where we would start to raise them.
Oh.
And we would raise them, and you could either sell them maybe at 6 week old or 8 weeks old. Then later we add another part on, and we would raise broilers then.
So who was buying these chickens?
At that time, of course, back in those years, everybody had chickens. Then during World War II, when the food rationing and particularly meat rationing began, why, everybody kind of had a few backyard chickens to have eggs and to have meat.
How many years did your dad do this for?
He retired, well, I guess we hatched until about 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And after World War II, people just weren't as much as interested anymore. Huh. And it kind of slacked off till eventually you could see the handwriting on a wall that we needed to develop the business in another way. And get rid of the incubators.
Wow. Was your dad still around at that time?
Yes.
Okay. Was he still involved? Yeah, he was very involved with the business at that time.
Yes, right.
Okay. So were you doing more in the business than filling up feed bags at
that
point?
Well, yes, at that time. As I say, I worked on Saturdays, and I usually, and during the summer, I would work in the store,
mm-hmm.
waiting on customers primarily.
How did you and Pat meet?
I'll let Pat talk about that.
How did you guys meet? And I want to know how he introduced what he did for a living when you guys met, too.
Well, actually, we are one of the few families that had a backyard flock.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been in the store. He said he noticed me, but I had never noticed him. But a friend was, a classmate was interested in going out on a date, and I wasn't too interested. So he came over and visited with two friends along for support. Mm-hmm. And one of the friends was a really funny guy that I just really clicked with.
Yeah? Well, how about that? What did you know about? Did you know anything about the OK Hatchery at that point? Was it like known in the community?
Oh, sure. Well, we shopped there because we had chickens. So I knew the store, and ended up I was probably a good candidate to go out with him. I was the only one that would ride in the feed truck, sit on a couple of spare tires covered with dirty coats. And
so the feed truck is just a beat-up pickup truck? Is that what a feed truck is?
Or
is
it was a panel truck.
Oh, panel truck.
That they delivered feed in, yeah.
Okay. So what year did you guys meet?
Before my senior year, so that would be
1956.
56, yeah.
Okay. And you guys have been married for how long now?
Since 59.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations, you guys. Yeah. That's wonderful. You just had a great anniversary not that long ago then. The OK Hatchery, I was reading about some of the history on it, and you're showing me some photos not that long ago. So this has happened before you guys met. There was a pretty big fire in the 40s that might have been pretty damaging to the company. So what do you remember of that? You would have been pretty
young. Well, I was 8 years old, and I was just talking to my sister about that, too. The night it happened, we were sound asleep. It happened in the middle of the night, and there was a neighbor that lived down the street, probably a half a block away, and they were up late at night because they had a new baby, and the baby was up, and he looked out the window, could see the flames coming out, and he ran up the street and hammered on our door, told you the place was on fire. Of course, then, as I said, we were not in Kirkwood. We could call the Kirkwood Fire Department, but there were no fire hydrants. So all they could bring was a tank truck. And our house sat about maybe 100 feet away from where the two-story building was. And so they sprayed water on our house and on our roof to save it. And surprisingly enough, they didn't make us leave the house. And as I say, I was young. They didn't want me to see the fire, so I kind of was kept in the background and didn't really notice it until the next morning when it was burned to the ground.
What do you remember your dad saying about it at the time?
It was kind of fortunate. He, at that time, he was building a brick building across from there that he was going to use for a broiler house. And because it burned, he talked to the architects and said, you know, we need to add a second story to this building so that I can continue in business. And with the help of a lot of distributors and people that we were buying from that helped us out, we were able to probably in a couple weeks' time able to go right back in business in this new brick building that was being built.
Wow. So with help from people that were clients, it got you guys back up on your feet and you were up in no time after that.
Right.
Wow. Let me ask Dan Bean from CMA Consulting about that. You know, when there's unexpected disasters where there might be a building or something like that that goes up in flames and it's a very difficult time for a company, let's talk about some of the clients that could lend a helping hand. What does that go or what does that say about the relationship you have with the people you do business with?
So it speaks very highly of them. A business, that business buys from vendors and it serves its customers. And so there, it's like a sandwich, and the vendors certainly want the customer to come back into business so they can continue to sell to them. And the customers want the business to get back on its feet as quickly as possible so they have a source of supply. Mm-hmm. So there's people on each side of that business in the supply chain that want that business to recover quickly. And a lot of businesses around that business will be just good community, a good citizen in the corporate world, and they will try to, well, I have some space, or I have an unused shop, you can use that, or I have a forklift, you can use that. They will pitch in and help out and keep the business going. And employees will also respond and do what they can to make sure the business recovers quickly.
Right. Ron, at OK Hatchery, you have a sister, don't you?
I have a sister 7 years older than I am.
Right. So was she doing things around the hatchery too?
Well, I talked to her about that just this past week, and she said, I had to work in the office. She was wanting to be a secretary, so she worked in the office while she was in high school and just after she got out of high school. And a good friend of our family told her, he said, you don't want to work for your dad. all of your life. Go out and find somewhere else. So she had gone to Miss Hickey's business school to be a secretary, and so she ended up working for Ralston Purina, oddly enough.
What's what happened after the fire? So your dad has a new building, and he's getting back on his feet and getting things settled back up. Was the company continuing to grow still at that point?
Yes, it still was.
Were they still incubating eggs?
Yes, still incubating eggs. Of course, it was, I guess the war ended not shortly after that. And for a long time after that, the people were still raising chickens, but it kind of eased off.
Yeah. There were other people doing this too, or were you guys the only hatchery that you knew of?
No, by that time, there were several hatcheries in the general area.
Oh, okay. Was the OK Hatchery one of the first, and this spurred other ones to start?
I would say yes.
Yeah. Okay, so they were influenced by your guys' success,
well,
I guess.
Pretty much, yes.
You were still incubating. 10,000, does it get much larger than that?
Oh, yes. We ended up, in my time, with an incubator that held 98,000 eggs.
Wow. 98,000?
That was a big one, yeah.
What does 98,000 chickens sound like?
Well, of course, there weren't 98,000 at a time. There were a third of that. But,
yeah, that's a lot, though, isn't it?
It's just noisy.
So did the same process work with the 98,000? You'd go in thirds,
right,
basically?
Correct.
Would go in that type of process? Wow.
And most of the hatching was done in the springtime.
Okay.
After you got into the summer, there was not much done then. Then we went into our feeds and the supplies and so forth, and then very little was done in the wintertime, too.
Yeah. What was it like when Ron's parents were ready to retire? And what happened when Ron and Pat took over the OK Hatchery? We'll hear that story coming up next on The Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting on KMOX. It's the story of a business that's been around for 91 years, the OK Hatchery in downtown Kirkwood. Owners Ron and Pat join us here on KMOX to tell their story on The Business of Family Business. And if you have a family business story that should be told on this program, reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. CMAconsult.com is their website. Was there a point where you and your dad started discussing what it would be like when it was time for him to retire? Did that ever happen?
Not really, no. I was not interested. I went to college. I went to Washington University. I graduated with a degree in geology, which doesn't have much to do with chicken hatcheries. And I immediately went to work for the Missouri State Highway Department, as it was called then, the District 6 office in Kirkwood.
Yeah.
And as a draftsman. And I worked up to the time where I became an engineer, a highway designer. He decided to retire. And he said, this is when we may have talked about it more. Do you want the business to continue? Or do you want to stay where you are? If you'd want it to continue, why, you can buy the business from me.
Did you consider it at that time?
We did. Yeah. Of course, I had to talk it over with my wife. We were married then with... I don't know. We had children at that point. Yes, we did.
And how long were you working at that point out of college?
Probably about 6 years.
Okay, so you're starting to get pretty established in what you're doing.
And I decided that I think I have more future with the hatchery. I thought at the time I might have a little more time to do things, and then I didn't realize what all a business entailed. So sometimes it was 17, 18 hours a day, but that's a decision I made. And my dad was very happy about that. So the business continued.
Pat, is that how you remember it?
Well, we had the discussion with his dad. His dad was great for discussions. Mm. He did a lot of talking, and I did a lot of listening. And Ron read the funny papers and the Sunday paper while I took it all in. And so I said, okay, if we do this, I'll get a job to help so that we don't have to worry about paying the bills. And he said, oh, no, this is a good business. You'll make $12,000 a year. But back then, that was good.
Well, sure, yeah.
Yeah, back in 1966. So
you were planning to come in and work for the business?
Not for the business, outside the business.
Oh, outside.
So that there would be an outside income that he would be just working and not having to worry about paying the bills, for instance.
Right.
There'd be enough bills to pay for the business.
Right. So. I want to talk to you about this, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, because you've seen a lot of different family businesses. There may not be a kid in the business at the time when the father's ready to retire. Do you see that sometimes as motivators for kids that at the time they may not have thought of it as an option, but that might have been the motivator to get them back into the business?
So it's very possible that's the case. Clearly, a need is one thing that will bring the next generation into the business. And the need could be mom or dad's ready to retire. The need could be mom or dad passed away. Or the need could be a crisis, maybe a key employee left, and mom or dad just needs help.
Yeah.
And so it is come in or the business is likely going to fail. And most children, most members of the next generation in that situation will come in and do their best to help out because there's a family crisis and we got to respond to it.
Right. What happened after your dad, Oscar, retired? Did he, was he fully retired or did he still want to?
He continued to work in the office and do the book work and give lots of advice, which I seldom heeded, I think. Like she said, he'd tell me things and I'd be doing something else and go in one ear and out the other.
But no, I understand that. But the company was starting to change around that time too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about the transition of the company and in the sense that you guys were going to start offering some different things because the I guess the industry was changing too.
Very much. Yeah. As I say, he sold the incubators. We still maintained the feed store and selling supplies. And then all of a sudden, about that time, people began to think about feeding the wild birds. And it was something rather new. So he decided, well, I should jump on that bandwagon also. And he developed formula for wild bird seed. And we began to sell wild bird seed.
Huh.
And it really caught on.
Oh, okay.
At that time, we had moved into Kirkwood, into the city. So there was more walk-in trade there. It really did catch.
So was that like a secret recipe that your dad put together?
Well, we'd like to think it is. But and it was interesting, too, because when we mixed this seed, it was all done by hand. We didn't have big mixes or anything like that. And for many, many years, we mixed every pound of seed in a big 32-gallon trash barrel with a shovel. Three scoops of that, two scoops, and mix it up. And then scoop it out and bag it by hand.
So you got the forearms. You got some forearm strength from doing that over the years. That'll do it for you. Do you have a name for this bird seed? Was there a product name for it?
Yes. Okay Wild Bird Mix.
Okay Wild Bird Mix.
Yes.
Do you have birds on the packaging and everything too?
No, it was very unfancy.
Yeah. So you
at that time probably, and for a long time, we were just using used bags when people would buy other feeds. If so, we'd buy extra bags, usually misprints or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, you didn't even have to label it, what the ingredients were.
Yeah. I don't even know what goes into making a good mix that would be for bird feed. Do you guys still do bird feed?
We absolutely do.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's great. The same recipe?
Same recipe. I don't really think it's changed much at all.
Yeah.
But now it's done on a bigger capacity. We tried mixing it for a while. We bought a mixer.
Oh, so you don't use the shovel system.
Yeah, I didn't use the shovel, but then found out that it was too much, and so we have it mixed by other companies now
by
our formula.
Okay, so the packaging's probably been upgraded since then, too.
And it has a label on it now.
And a list of ingredients.
Oh, even that, too.
But not the recipe.
So, Pat, let's talk about from your perspective, during this time when there was a shift and you were seeing that it was going from the hatchery and you're starting to get into a different side, what was it like from your perspective as someone that was, in the family but may not be working in the family?
Well, it becomes the whole family is involved in the business. It's not just dad, because everybody has to live their lives with the idea, okay, we can't plan things on Saturday. That's a big retail day. Dad's going to be going up. At that time, we kind of had split where some of the storage of some of the supplies were. So the kids would pile in the truck with him and go to the hay ship, as the one son called it, go to the hay ship to load up for the next day's supplies. And so the whole family really is in the business.
Yeah. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, how many stores have you seen like this?
You don't see stores like this. You have to go there to understand it. And I grew up on a farm, so I've been to farm supply stores my whole life. This is part farm supply store. It's part garden center. It's part craft shop. It's part tool shop and probably two or three other shops thrown in there.
Yeah.
But you have to go to see it. And then you find it in downtown Kirkwood, so it just doesn't fit. But boy, is it a different kind of thing and a different kind of experience. And to have it in a downtown area really makes it unique.
You may have memories of the OK Hatchery in downtown Kirkwood, like many people do. It's been around for 91 years. We're going to continue one last time with both Ron and Pat telling their story on the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. I'm Ryan Recker. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. It's presented by CMA Consulting. We tell the story of family businesses from all across the region. And joining us today is OK Hatchery. They're located in downtown Kirkwood with both Ron and Pat telling their story. So where in downtown Kirkwood are you guys set up at?
Well, we started at my dad when he bought, after he left, sold the hatchery out at Darty Ferry in Essex, moved to 113 West Argonne, which was the old Coulter Feed Company, which mm-hmm. was started probably in the very early 1900s. Mm-hmm. He sold that building, built a small concrete block building at 140 East Madison, and that's where I bought the business. It was rather small, and at that time, Kirkwood decided that whole area was going to be blighted, and Target was going to build a big development there. Mm-hmm. So we were going to have to find someplace new.
Mm.
And we looked around and looked around. Unfortunately, at that time, Whole Camp Lumber on Argonne, 113 East Argonne, was going out of business. And it was a huge jump and a huge building. But we talked to them and decided that's where our move was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are now. And we have added then a new building again. So two huge buildings there.
So it's really upgraded at that
yes.
point. Yeah, lots
yeah.
of space.
Yeah.
Does that help when you're trying to plan for the future, when you say, I'm not going to have a problem with space with a building this size?
Well,
or did you run into that pretty quick?
My family's after me and my dad's after me that I always bought too much inventory.
Uh-huh.
And boy, when I saw all that space, did I let go. And it didn't take long to fill it.
The story is pretty full.
Yeah. So what would you describe the experience as like walking in to the store now?
Well, I guess it depends on who it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see young kids come in, and first thing they do is hold their nose because they don't like to smell because all the chemicals in there and all the feeds in an open barrel and
yeah.
so forth.
When general, you say the smell, what does it smell like at the OK Hatchery? Like, what would the smell be?
I don't know how to describe it.
Well, you're probably used to it.
Because I don't notice it.
Yeah.
I didn't smell anything. It must be you.
So the feed in open feed barrels, that was very common in yesteryear.
Yeah.
50, 60 years ago, that's how feed was sold. And so the feed, there is an aroma, and it does smell like a feed store. The open barrels of feed are near the front of the store,
yeah.
near the checkout.
Right.
And that's part of the quaintness. That's part of the history. That's part of the throwback of this experience.
Yeah.
Is you get to experience something, you're going to travel a long way to find something similar to this.
I would bet you may never find something similar to this.
And you might not ever
like.
Find it.
Yeah. Well, how long have you owned the business for now, you two?
We bought it in 1966.
Yeah, so it's been some years.
Some years.
So can you walk through when you're trying to make a decision for like the OK Hatchery and say, Ron and Pat, you sit down. How do you guys come to an agreement on a decision? Do you guys have a process you go through?
Everybody just kind of does their own thing.
Yeah.
I don't know that we ever really talk anything out.
Well, you and I probably talk, but I don't. We have two boys in the business now. And
Well, and then I talk, and the boys do the grandpa thing to me. You know, I
yeah.
talk, and their eyes glaze over. And when I say, that's too much inventory, they do the same thing that he did
uh-huh.
to his dad.
What's the intention for the business? Do your sons want to take over the business?
Well, they essentially run it now.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay.
We're partially retired.
So there's like a leadership transition in the sense they're taking over
yeah.
the business.
Oh, yeah.
Ownership-wise, do you guys maintain full ownership or do you guys start working in maybe an ownership transition too?
We did some ownership. We did some transfer of stock for bonus purposes.
Okay.
And then when we were getting close to losing 50% of the control, we stopped.
Yeah.
We went. Keep our hand in there, you know, keep control.
Does that mean you're taking it easier or are you still working as hard as you ever been?
No, we're taking it. Well, I'm taking it easier.
Yeah.
She still works.
Well,
yeah, we both do.
Anything that your sons have brought up and changes they wanted to make in the company that you guys have tried to fight back on based on the experiences you've had?
Yeah, buy more inventory.
Yeah, just more.
Well, he's not opposed to more inventory. He loves inventory. Each one has added their own additional. Mark is the oldest, and we were having, along with the vegetables, annuals, and he added perennials, and he added hard to find and imported tools, and so he had began to add his own take, and they go to trade shows, and they get their own product lines going. Steve came into the business. He got a horticultural degree, and he wanted to be open on Sundays, so he and his family have handled that. Mark's degree is in business, so he's my ally whenever I need to talk business.
Good. My question to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting is that you hear about this where there may be some sort of new leadership where you hear about, you know, Pat and Ron, who are still working, but, you know, partially retired, but the leadership roles are with their kids right now. They always have some sort of differences on how they feel they should run the company versus how Pat and Ron may have run it over the years. That's pretty common, isn't it, when the new generation comes in, and then there's always those little different changes that maybe take some time to transition to.
Most every new generation comes in and gives the business a boost. So
yeah.
So Ron talked about giving the business a boost when he took over for his father.
Mm-hmm.
His father had it designed around his comfort level. So Ron is younger and has his full career ahead of him as opposed to on a glide path to the end of the career. So he's going to come in with a new source of energy, a new vision, and new ideas.
Yeah.
And he gives the business a boost. And now Ron is close to on his glide path. I like his phrase, I'm working full time on Saturdays. I'm going to remember that. But now he's in the glide path, and now it's his sons that have come in and given a boost with their ideas. And that's the value of a new generation coming in. It's new ideas, new energy, and the business tends to take off.
Yeah. Are there clients that you've known for decades?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really fun. I think sometimes my boys sit back and start shaking their head because I know somebody and we start talking to somebody. Because I've waited on customers and had customers over the years from the Kirkwood area, even with classmates from school, they know they can come to OK Hatchery and I'll get the word out that so-and-so is in town, you know.
The boys, I keep calling them the boys.
They're How old are
they're
they
really
now?
Men. they're over 50. So the idea of, do we reinvent ourselves again? You're constantly reinventing yourself into the electric world. Do we become
like a digital world or something?
A digital world.
Yeah.
Virtual reality was one of the things that came up where you do travel through the store virtually.
Yeah.
Some people have more ambitions to build empires, and we just have an ambition to run a business.
And the community around you and the people you work with.
It's like the old mom and pop and the kids, and it's not a big business, but it's one we are proud of.
And our next goal is to make it to the 100 years.
It's coming up.
Yes, it was 90 years last year.
Yeah, wow. So that's actually right around the corner.
It is.
Not too far away, you're right.
You said that your mother was a big part of the success in the business.
She was a great help to my dad, and she had to, you know, get away from homemaking at times, particularly during hatchery season. I mean, they worked 15 hours a day, and as a kid, I can remember growing up, Mom didn't cook dinner in those days. We went out to eat almost every night because she had to be down, and she was helping when the chickens were being hatched. She helped to.
She had to candle the eggs.
Yeah, big sacrifices,
Call the chickens and get them prepared. But
big sacrifices, though.
Yes.
So you have grandkids, too. Is that right?
Yes, we have five grandchildren from 22 down to 13.
Do any of them contribute in the company now?
The three oldest, they're in college, and they work when they're in town. The daughter, granddaughter's in sales, and the grandson back in the warehouse. And then the 16-year-old is starting to work in the warehouse off and on. He hasn't developed a full schedule yet. I think this is his year.
Well, if you want to talk about people that are native and digital speak, that's where you would start. You'd talk to them about that sort of thing. They could probably help.
Well, that's absolutely right.
That's it. And if we go that direction, it's going to have to come from them. It's not going to come from us.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Let's talk about daughters, the sons, the next generation in a company. Is it typical for them to not want to listen to their parents?
It very much is. They have to prove they can do it on their own. So they tend not to listen. They want to find their own way. But they will find relationships are a lot better if they will listen to the prior generation and do it the prior generation's way. They will at least know one way that works. And then once they've done that, they can then experiment with their own. And there's another dynamic at work as well. The current generation overvalues what they have to share by a factor of two.
Mm-hmm.
And the next generation discounts the value of what they have to share by a factor of two.
Hmm.
So if they could just meet in the middle, everything would work just right.
People listening right now that haven't experienced this firsthand in the OK Hatchery and haven't been able to see what you have done and haven't been able to experience it, what would you say to them? What do they need to do? It's just come down and see it for themselves?
They need to come down and see it for themselves.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I got to know, what are your thoughts on this story, this very unique story you've just heard?
Yeah, it's an amazing story, a 90-year story, overcoming one adversity after another and staying relevant in a changing marketplace, which is very hard to reinvent yourself over and over again. And the fact that this store sits in downtown Kirkwood makes it even more amazing. But this is also a story of how a family stays together during adversity and during good times and during challenging times.
Mm-hmm.
And they are to be congratulated for having a successful family business for 90 years.
Ron and Pat Krieger for OK Hatchery, I've loved learning about it here today. Thanks for coming on and sharing your story on the business of family business.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
And also thanks to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Their website, cmaconsult.com. Reach out to them if you have a great family business story. And also thanks to Ferguson Roofing, a contributing sponsor to this program. We'll see you again soon.